14-2, is that right, Lance?
Yep, that's right. That's incredible.
That's incredible. 14-2 against the spread. The coach is presented each week by our friends at the Rental Works Division of Crane Works. He is on the Pepsi Hotline. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good. Actually, I didn't lose any. What I did was you could either take both of them, one of them, or none of them. I decided I'd just take Michigan. So
okay, as it turns out, Coach took Michigan. It was a good pick.
That's what true professional handicappers do. They always they paint the picture that they're always right.
And actually, it was 15-2 to start with. I can't get Jim, for some reason, doesn't ever mention that I'm on, so nobody knows I'm on.
Yeah, nobody knows. If you don't say Coach is on, nobody's going to know he's on.
What was the name of the segment?
Butthurter. Good point of Butthurter.
Is that a good point or Butthurter?
That was a good point.
I swear, I thought I teased him twice in the first segment.
Is there any more out of
and
you,
we'll
please?
Talk
no,
him
he
up
doesn't.
In
he doesn't. Jim doesn't tease. Jim gets all mad at me at times.
He does.
Do get mad at you quite often.
Hey,
let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you what's going to happen.
All right.
We're going to have everybody, as the years go along, to create organizations that will set up money funds.
For recruiting. You're talking about recruiting, yeah.
Yeah, for everything.
Yeah.
The Pancake Fund has been set up in Texas, where each offensive lineman at the University of Texas will get $50,000.
Yeah, that's a great fund. Plan by Texas, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a mess because we're going to end up with I know you guys like to transfer portal, you like all that stuff, but I think it's going to be pretty difficult to get through all of that.
Okay, but be honest. Correct. Be honest, Wim, okay?
Okay. Sure.
You're no longer a head coach, so nothing can happen to you. But there was money, gifts, and things that were given to players. I'm not saying specific ones, but over the years in college athletics, there are ways to get money and benefits to players, and this is a way of doing it now. The pancake fund or whatever they're calling it is just a above board way of giving booster money or fan money to players above board as opposed to slipping it in an envelope or putting it in their shoes. Is there any difference?
Well, I agree to that some, but you know, the recruiting factor is going to be so big.
But didn't back in the day, didn't I choose
not
to go,
like that.
Didn't I choose to go play basketball?
You asked me to be honest.
Yeah.
You asked me to be honest, and I'm trying to be honest with you. Not like that.
Yeah.
Kentucky gave them sport codes. I got daddy's jobs, if that's illegal.
Yeah.
This T.R. Dunn's daddy, until he passed away last week, was still working. So it wasn't like that. It escalated. I understand everything escalated. I understand all that. But it's in the recruiting part of it, when it gets down to it, it's legal cheating, if you want to call it that. It's just I just brought it up because I thought it was interesting.
No, it's fascinating. And I'm looking forward to see how, you know, other schools follow the Pancake Club there. Yeah. I want to see what they do. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, I guess everybody's got money now. When you look at what coaches are making, what Miami's paying Mario Cristobal, so I guess really the only schools that will suffer, if this makes any sense, would be the Group Fives, right?
Yeah, would be. The Group Fives you're referring to.
Well, I'm talking about the, you know, the MACs and the UABs, the Americans, the CUSAs of the world.
Yeah, they'll suffer. They don't have that kind of money if you go in.
But they were suffering anyway, so, I mean, it's probably going to
be. Again, I've always made this point, Coach, and what you're saying is not incorrect, but I've always made this point. So the result of this is going to be Alabama's number one in recruiting, right? So what has changed, really? I mean, Alabama can only sign 25 guys.
Yeah, I understand. So much of it is evaluation. You've got evaluation. So we know we have to do a good job recruiting and being sure the parents like us and go in there a lot and feel like the guy's parents and he feels like it. You're really recruiting him. But you have to be darn sure that he's the kind of guy that is going to win for you on the field, as well as off the field. But on the field, he's going to be that kind of player. Sometimes the evaluations are incorrect. I evaluated guys for 38 years, and I hit on some that never were. Keith Askins is going into the Hall of Fame, and he had no scholarships. He's going to Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. So I picked him, and it wasn't a bad pick, but I also picked a bunch that were wrong. I made mistakes. I recruited for two other coaches, and I made mistakes. And I recruited for myself, and I made mistakes. I hit on a lot of good ones, but also made mistakes, and that's what's difficult to be darn sure. Yes, you can recruit, but you got to be right in who you get.
You know, I thought it was interesting. We brought this up. You know, now that Brian Kelly's taken over LSU, you've got Max Johnson is transferred out. You've already had Miles Brennan transfer out. You've got one scholarship quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier. He's already played in four games. He plays in one more. He loses a year of eligibility. So the only quarterback they've got right now to play in the Texas Bowl is Nussmeier. That becomes a really tricky situation for Brian Kelly, right?
Yeah, sure it does. Is Brian going to coach the bowl game?
Well, no, it's the interim coach, but I'm sure. Okay. I mean, if you're the interim coach, though, don't you have to go to Brian Kelly and say, what do you want me to do here? Do I burn this kid's red shirt or not?
Yeah. You know, we go so much now into the personalities of people. We really do behind the scenes. We go into the personality of Dan Mullen, who, you know, made us believe that he wasn't going to be the kind of recruiter he needed to be. As I see this guy walk into the room and listen to what he has to say, for on that little 15-minute deal, that personality bothered me.
Who, Brian Kelly?
I think
he's abrasive, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, everybody always kidded me about when I was with Sonny. Sonny was funny and Wimp had a bad personality.
Well, that was true.
I'm funnier than Sonny is. I just don't let you know it. But anyway, it's a case where I wasn't really comfortable there, watching him, don't know anything about it. And then when you compare him to what you had, and Orgeron let them do what they wanted to, but they were a little bit freer. I just think that they, you know, he and his brother both are going to move out of there. A lot of them. That's the good point you make, Ryan. It's going to be a mess.
It is a big change, it seems like, style-wise, from Orgeron to Brian Kelly.
Let me say something else. Let me say one other thing on my buddy.
Okay.
I don't know what the speech was, but as you know, I'm big on mental stuff.
Yes.
I don't believe in that people get ready to play mentally. You're good physically as to how you are mentally. I believe that, even on your show. If you come in, Lance is better today than he was 2 days, 3 days ago. I listened to you for a few minutes because he got a good report. He acts better today, Lance does, than he did 3 days ago.
Medically.
Yeah, medical report.
Doctors
cleared into play.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm trying to make a point.
I was very hungover Monday, too. But
yeah, you got the point.
Okay, I got it.
So when Coach goes in there on Thursday, Coach Saban, and gives a talk that will go down the history, let's say, of his talks to a team that was going to be the big-time underdog. It was big mentally and got them to play the way they needed to play. And I just think that my point in saying that and saying about the LSU coach walking in is just how you present stuff to your team, how they feel about you, and how they love you, but they're a little bit afraid of you.
Do you tell people, though, like in that situation, if you're Brian Kelly, hey, you're not going to play. You need to find another place.
Did he tell him that?
No, I don't know. I'm asking, if Brian Kelly believes that Max Johnson isn't going to play, now you risk losing his brother,
Jim
Johnson.
You don't tell him anything. You get him on the, you encourage him. You try to keep everybody that you have, and then you make it, you know, you get to the films.
So there's no honesty.
I'm sorry.
So there's no honesty then.
Well, I don't think it. Does he know whether he can play or not?
I don't know.
Well, at this point, that's not being dishonest. He probably doesn't know.
I would assume he's watched his quarterbacks over the last 3 or 4 days.
Well, I would doubt very seriously. Let me tell you something. People don't. They watch what they do all the time. It's just like, you know, I don't want to switch this over real quickly, but it's just like voting on the Heisman. People don't pay any attention. They don't pay any attention to Bryce. Some of them don't. They're covering their own team. By the way, I got a vote, so I vote. I don't even put him on there. The votes, he's going to win it. But people don't. They don't. In life, we just kind of pay attention to what we're doing. We care a little bit about what you're doing, but not a whole lot. That's the way it is. And I think that when a football coach comes in there, he needs to keep. I don't know that you're lying to him. You're just trying to keep him in the program and see how he does because you need him. And, you know, you're trying to look out after yourself and after the teammates of this guy. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Boy, the Alabama basketball team goes over to Gonzaga and gets a big, big win across the country in Seattle. What does that do for the team, and what did you think of that performance?
Boy, I thought it was a terrific performance. They played terrific. I thought, without taking anything away from Alabama, that Gonzaga didn't make any attempt to guard the three-point shooters to Alabama. I had to scratch my head on that one. They didn't make, give Shaq any credit for being any good. But I thought Alabama played well. They didn't turn it over as much. They didn't make the free throws quite as well as they did. But that was a great game for them to go in there and to win that game the way they did. Was certainly a real credit to them. And they went in and they continued to shoot the basketball well throughout the game. Sometimes when you start out shooting it well, it slides on you a little bit and people catch up with you. And they almost caught them three or four times. I thought there was a guy, too, on Gonzaga's team who called All-American. It's not an All-American in my picture before they even played Alabama. But I don't want to say anything wrong because I think Alabama did terrifically well.
Yeah, and the celebration, you're seeing that as you watch us this morning in there with Nate Oates. Can you get enough buzz going that boosters and such will say, hey, let's build a new arena? Do you think there is a new arena in the future for Alabama basketball?
I think there probably is. I think behind the scenes he's been busy trying to get their thing going, football, and the money that they lost with the COVID stuff, not lost, but didn't make quite as much with the football and trying to get the football schedule. I just think it is in his mind. I don't talk to him much, but I won't see it. I won't be here, but somebody will see it, and it'll be been. This is going to blow your mind, and you're not going to agree at all. The arena they have is not that right now. They have is not that bad, really not. 14-8, and the seats are pretty darn good, and that facility is not bad. It's not that bad. If they want a new one, then they can get one. They got plenty of money.
Yeah, well, right. You know, I do. You're right. I do question whether or not to build a small one like Auburn or Ole Miss. I mean, it does give great atmosphere, but when you're cooking like you were back in the day and like he is right now, 14-8 is a tough ticket.
Well, I'd rather have the big one. I'd rather have the big one and try to get the people in there myself. And 14-8 was great back then. We started that thing. We played, I think, Stanford the first game back in 100 years ago when I was there. I spent my whole life in there. And so, you know, it's not because it's not sentimental to me, but it's the arena as you go and look at it is not as bad as we care on about. But I would answer your question by saying, I would imagine the athletic director has everything in place and is going to do it, you know, when he gets through this football situation that they're going through now.
All right, he is the coach, Wim Sanderson. Will you, real quick, will you work on some bowl blue plates?
Yeah,
you're so
if you want me to, I will. It'll be hard.
For next
it'll be
week.
Hard to do. Bowls are hard to.
I know, they're tough. Yeah. Just see what you think. We can do it next week or moving forward. The coach he's presented each week by our friends in the Rental Works Division of Crane Works, Coach.
Well, David Upton's a good friend of mine. They're great people at Crane Works, whether you have an at-home project coming up or a corporate construction job that you need to check out. Rental Works, the division of Crane Works, is absolutely a great division. They have everything from landscaping equipment, excavators. They do anything in the world for you. They'll look at you. Don't have to go to big box stores, do anything. They've got everything that you need. Check out their full fleet on craneworks.com. Appreciate them having me on. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Coach, thank you. As always.
Okay, y'all have a good day. I'll talk to you before Christmas.
Okay,
we'll
love you.
Next week.
Yeah, next week. Okay, bye. That's Coach Rip Sanderson on the Pepsi Hotline.